Let me call to order the April Fool's Day meeting of the Police, Judicial, and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. It's good to see everybody here. Thank you for showing up, and we don't have any good April Fool's jokes for you, and I hope y'all don't have any for us either. Our agenda is as published. Item number one is approval of the minutes of the March 4th, 2019 meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. If you'd like to make a public comment, please approach. Give your name and address and 2 minutes, please. And can somebody help time, please? Yes, sir.
When I can go. Kevin Cunane, 3032 River Vista Way. I want to thank the police department publicly for the – there was a child hit and injured severe hurt badly in a car to pedestrian incident in Park West. And not only did the response that day come quickly and do everything right, but in the days following, I noticed some motorcycles out there. And that gives people a lot of peace of mind. It tells people that the town cares about you. The town knows what happened. We're plugging in. The police department does that well. We see things like yesterday's newspaper with the secret propaganda plans about the town's branding and all that. None of that stuff matters when you compare it to the brand of Mount Pleasant that's shown by our police force. When you roll into a town that has motorcycles out there, shiny motorcycles and officers that care, that's the brand of Mount Pleasant. And I just want to thank the police chief and your officers as well and all your staff for taking the initiative and making people aware that the town does care when something bad happens. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Name and address in two minutes, please.
Good morning. Melinda Hamilton, president of the League of Women Voters, and I live in Charleston. But about half of our members live in Mount Pleasant, and I appreciate you allowing me to speak this morning on behalf of the Equal Rights Amendment. Men and women should be treated equally under the law. That seems pretty basic. But as we approach the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage, it comes as a shock to many of us that the United States Constitution does not guarantee women the same rights as men. The Equal Rights Amendment is just 24 words that speak for themselves. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. We are so proud to work on a bipartisan basis for the Equal Rights Amendment in South Carolina. Its leaders are in the General Assembly are Gilda Cobb Hunter, a Democrat from Orangeburg, who is the longest serving member of the House, and Peter McCoy, a Republican from Charleston, who is the newly appointed chair of the Judiciary Committee where the bill has been assigned. By ratifying the ERA, South Carolina would become the 38th and final state needed to meet the threshold for the ERA to become the 28th Amendment to the Constitution. Your support today and your advocacy going forward with legislators is so important. The ERA is not a partisan issue. It's one of universal human rights. Gender equality should be an explicit basic principle of our society. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Name, address, 2 minutes.
My name is Barbara Fry. I live at 28 Mobile Street in Mount Pleasant, and I represent the Equal Means ERA Coalition. We are a group of women and men who have come together, numbering in the thousands across the state, who support equal justice under law through passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. Thank you so much for this consideration. The ERA ratification is long overdue. 94% of American adults believe that men and women should have equal rights. And actually, a real problem is that 80% of them already think that we do. In 2010, when asked if courts were wrong to use the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause in cases of sex discrimination, Justice Antonin Scalia replied, "Yes, sorry to tell you that. Certainly the Constitution does not require discrimination on the basis of sex. The only issue is whether it prohibits it. It doesn't. Nobody ever thought that was what it meant. Nobody ever voted for that." Justice Scalia then goes on to say that laws are the means to reflect society's current thinking, and we have plenty of those. But laws against discrimination are limited and only pertain to certain types of employment or education. They are not comprehensive and differ from state to state. And laws are subject to interpretation and revocation by whichever legislative body, court, or administration is currently in power. A gain in one circumstance can easily be lost in another. The words of the amendment are simple. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Equality for all South Carolina citizens, regardless of sex. It's time. Please help us by passing this resolution in support of the ERA. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good morning.
There you go.
There. My name is Joan Zaleski, and I live here in Mount Pleasant. And I'm also a member of the Equal Means ERA Coalition of men and women who are asking town council to vote in support of the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment in South Carolina. There is no place in the Constitution to protect the rights of women. The Constitution does designate race, religion, and nation of origin as suspect classes of citizenship that provide protected status due to their history of discrimination. Because of that history, they receive the highest level of judicial review of strict scrutiny. While women have a similar history of discrimination that extends back over 230 years in our nation's history, they are not considered a suspect class and receive a lesser level of intermediate scrutiny in judicial review. And when you look for protection under the law, that distinction makes a huge difference. When courts rule on protected cases where strict scrutiny is applied, they rule for the litigant 80% of the time. When the lesser standard of intermediate scrutiny is used, as it is only for women, the chance of the court ruling favorably is reduced to 50%. Having the ERA in place would elevate sex as a suspect class of citizenship. Discrimination on the basis of sex would receive the highest level of strict scrutiny. That legal protection would greatly improve women's ability to receive fair and equal treatment under the law. I look forward to having the ERA ratified in my lifetime. I ask the Mount Pleasant Town Council to vote to support the Equal Rights Amendment, and thank you very much.
Thank you. 2 minutes. Yes, sir. 2 minutes, please.
Good morning. My name is Rob Biko. I live at 2862 Middle Street on Sullivan's Island. I'm also a realtor here with ERA Wilder Realty here in Mount Pleasant. I'm also serving as a trustee on the Charleston County Board of Library Board of Trustees. I want to thank you for the opportunity to tell you why I urge the town of Mount Pleasant to pass the resolution in this support of the ERA. First, I believe that women are fundamentally equal to men and that it is past time we as a nation recognize that equality by enshrining it in our Constitution. Without the ERA, it is left up to interpretation, as was just mentioned, as to whether the bedrock principles of our democracy, all men are created equal, liberty and justice for all, equal justice under the law, apply equally to women and men. That is wrong, and it must be fixed. Second, equal rights for women would have a positive impact on the lives of women, men, and our economy here in South Carolina and in Mount Pleasant. According to Wren, white women in South Carolina only earn 74 cents on every dollar that a white man earns, and African American women only earn 53 cents. Women serve as a primary or co-breadwinner in two-thirds of South Carolina families, so women are key to our state's economic health. Lower lifetime income for women also impacts the lives of her children and family members. Economically empowered women are the key to healthy and successful families and intergenerational economic mobility. 17% of women in South Carolina lived in poverty, a rate that is 20% higher than men. If employed women were paid the same as comparable men, their poverty rate would be reduced by nearly half. This would free up taxes
Wrap up, please.
All right. Thank you very much for your consideration and for voting yes on this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Pat. Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court, and you know why I'm, what I want to say. Taking minutes, I think y'all are going, you've already voted to cut down on the amount of minutes that our staff is going to take. If I'm wrong, tell me. All right. The minutes are extremely valuable. And, for example, there's an item coming up later that I spent a couple hours going through minutes on yesterday just to make sure I had all the facts right. So I can't be the only person who does this, and I think it's something we need to keep doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Did we get your name and address for the record? Okay, good. Thank you. Anyone else? All righty. Thank you all very much. This moves us to item number 3, Police Matters Budget Review for Fiscal Year 2020. Take it away.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. The Police Department budget, if you have your budget books with you, is found on page 57. I will go ahead and provide some highlights of the budget, and certainly Chief Ritchie is here along with Ms. Kotov that can and myself can answer any questions that you have. Highlights of the police department budget proposed for next year were asking for an increase of 1%, about $95,000. There's a lot of ebb and flow in the budget. Please know that none of it represents any decrease in the level of service provided to Mount Pleasant residents. For example, you'll see decreases in the budget for next year. $271,000 coming out of the budget. That was an expense in this current year for body cameras and the servers with them. That's a one-time expense, and we have fully moved forward with that effort. Also, one thing you'll notice on the salary side is the addition of the SROs, which happened this current fiscal year. It was your effort to make sure that we had school resource officers in all of our schools, and that has happened. Speaking of salaries, this budget also reflects a 4% on average pay for performance, as well as the 1% retirement match. As you know, the police department is in the police officers retirement system at the state level.
May I ask a quick question?
Yes, sir.
When you say pay for performance, is that it averages 4% for those who receive it, or does everyone receive 4%?
It averages.
Averages.
The higher performers may be a little bit better than 4.
Okay.
Less for those who didn't score quite as high. One item you may have a question on, I thought I would address directly, is overtime for the police department. It's proposed to be decreased almost $136,000. That is not a reduction in service. It was Hurricane Florence that bumped up the overtime costs that went along with our preparation. The amount of money that you see now is what the police department started with at the beginning of this fiscal year. Additional items inside this budget, which is different from last year, is included the Animal Society as well as the crisis chaplaincy. Typically, those were handled before under aid to outside agencies. But those were agencies that time and time every year receive funding because of their direct importance to the police department. So we've put them in this budget here, and that amount can be changed if you see fit. If you're uncomfortable with those two agencies being housed here, we can move them back to sort of the non-departmental line with all the other agencies that you consider for funding next month. Some other notable changes, things like repairs to radios, other capital items we move out. We've been doing this across the board, moving out of individual department budgets and moving them to capital. It's a better place to house the money. So if you notice decreases in the budget for that, again, it's not a reduction in service. It's just moving capital where we can manage all the capital of the town in one area. And as far as CIP, page 148 of the budget shows the police fire training facility, which we continue to sort of piece together as best we can. One of the largest components of that facility is our effort to get a shooting range out there, which is something that the chief and his staff that we've been pursuing for quite some time. It's a very expensive endeavor. It has to be indoors. Upon original approval for our use of that property years ago, as it was in Charleston County, the caveat on approval was that it couldn't be an outdoor firing range. So in order to get a firing range, it has to be indoors, and the price is fairly steep, and we haven't been able to reach it yet. Other capital items, small capital, are 24 replacement cruisers for the police department. As you know, we have an ongoing maintenance schedule with our cruisers, and we have a good number of them, so we have to have every year it's important for us to replace a significant amount of our cruisers just to stay current.
So those are replacement.
Yes, sir. Right. Replacements. Yeah. And so, with that being said, those are the highlights, and we stand. We're not asking for any additional officers, by the way. We are proposing to remain at the same level of 166. And so, ready to answer any questions if you have.
Counsel, yes, sir, Mr. Santos.
Yeah. Chief, is there any plans to add some more motorcycle policemen out there? I think they do a great job out there. I think we need them. You heard Council Member Kunayan earlier. We certainly need them, especially over on 526.
To answer your question, yes, sir, there is. I have to find riders. I have a number of officers who are interested. When they go back home and talk to their significant others, they don't get the thumbs up like I would give them. So that is a plan to still try to get more motors. We got to identify those who are willing to ride and then willing to go through the extensive training. So, yes, sir, that is definitely on the radar to get done.
Thank you.
About how many? We have how many now?
We have two now, sir. I'd like to add two more to this unit initially.
Have a total of four.
The total of four, yes, sir. And then the two I have do a great job.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about the two non-governmental agencies that are being funded now with the budget shifted over. What were those two again?
Crisis chaplaincy.
And
the animal shelter.
Okay. And doesn't Dean Norton also do a lot of work with the police department? Would that be another appropriate? I guess I'm just wondering where you're drawing the line of which organization's budget is going to be moved over or which is not. And then are they going to then be funded differently, or are they funded still through that same community fund that we do?
The proposal is to have it funded directly out of the police department. The big change is that both of the two agencies listed have received sizable contributions over the years. And so it just seemed like they're almost operating now as a I can't think of a better way to say it, de facto wing of the police department.
Okay.
And so Dean Norton, while worthy, doesn't usually receive the same amount of funding per year.
Okay.
If we do that, can we still make sure that things are checked, like their audited financials, their 501c3 status, all of those things?
Of course, sir.
I know there's a level of scrutiny for the community development grants, but just because they're not coming through that, I would hate for us to lose track of, you know, whether they're doing the right thing with their funding and all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Were you raising your hand? Or
no.
Okay. Adjusting your glasses. Chief, you feel good about our budget?
I feel very good. I mean, anytime we need something, sir, there, you and council, our staff, have always been willing to step up and fill our needs. So I feel very comfortable with what we have here.
It may not be a budget issue, but I see we're getting more and more state attention to this issue about the police academy and the backlog. And we don't run that or anything, but I know it can affect the timing of getting officers on the line that you have hired. So I don't know if that needs any budget concern from us or not.
No, sir. At this time, we're prepared. Actually, hopefully start in May is what we're hearing initially from the academy. They've gotten their approval for us to start running our own, at least 4 weeks at academy here locally.
Right.
Our staff's already working on getting the lesson plans from the academy. Of course, we're going to go a step above what they give us. We want to go a little more. We already have outside agencies. College of Charleston and Most Corner have already committed to sending their officers as well to our four-week academy, and they're going to send instructors that they have. So we'll have a strong cadre of instructors to teach. They're all academy-certified instructors. to where when where we get the nod to start this 4 weeks of training, we'll be able to get it done and then move them into the final 8 weeks of training that they have to enter the academy. And the good news is with the new format they're doing, we have several pre-certified from out of state we get, who in the past were six-weekers, we call them, when they had to go to the academy for 6 weeks. Now, because they're training from their other states when they come in here, they'll do a week of legals in-house with us to make sure they've got the state legals. Then they'll go to the academy for a week to drive and shoot, and they're ready to go. So that's going to help turn them a little quicker. Okay. They still have to go through our field training as well. So we're not cutting back on any watering down our training at all.
Right.
But I think we're going to be prepared to finally get these folks on the road in the near future.
Good.
Yes, sir.
It's a shame that it's that way in our growing state, and I think our region probably feels it more so than others due to the growth of our region. But thank you for the update on that. Ms. Kotov, do you have any comments on this, being the keeper of the budget and the money and everything's good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions on the police budget review? Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the budget review for 2020, the police department's operating expenditures, and the police department's capital and maintenance expenditures.
Second.
As described by staff.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All right. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion passes. Judicial matters, budget review for 2020.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, this is Ms. Kervin's, there's LaVisa, her budget, and it is historically one of the most lean budgets that in our town. There's not much action required happening here. I already mentioned to you under police about the salary and retirement proposal. One thing of note under contractual services is the public defender annual contract. We're required to provide that service. That's at $41,000. It's been working very well for us. And other than that, that is it for the municipal court budget, unless Ms. LaVisa has a comment.
Good.
Council questions? I'll ask LaVisa, are we giving you the resources, manpower you need to fulfill the duties we've asked of you?
Yes, sir.
And there's no major changes or departures from the past. I know it's pretty much a regular thing here.
It is. No, sir. We do well with what we have, and we're very conscientious regarding our budget. So
good.
We're good.
I ran into one of our newly appointed judges recently who had high praise for the way our department is run and the way you run it, so I want to publicly acknowledge that.
Thank you. We have a very good team, and that's what it is, a team effort.
Good. Good. Yes, sir. Gary?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we approve the budget review, court administration operating expenditures as described by staff.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Very much.
Item 5 on the budget is legal matters, a budget review for legal department operating expenditures.
Thank you, sir. It can be found on page 32 of your budget book, and sort of similar to municipal court. Not much in terms of new activity. Overall, there's a decrease of $48,000. Most of that decrease has to do with fees and costs associated with litigation. As you know, we had increases due to Park West this current year and things associated with that. We are in this proposal represents year 3 of 4 of the contract with our legal team, so that's included here in the budget. Other than that, there's no new positions outside of our legal team, meaning for our solicitor or secretarial personnel, administrative assistant personnel, no new positions. And for those who are employees of the town, same compensation recommendation and pension recommendation. And so that's all we have here.
Second place. I guess I would ask Mrs. Whitley, you and I have had conversations about the whole structure of our legal department, and I for one would like to examine those before we approve the budget for that. I'm assuming we have a month that we could come back next month and approve this.
Yes.
Just some discussions that we need to have among council members. Is there a motion that maybe we bring this back next month?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second that we bring the legal, let me get the wording right. It's under legal matters. What's the budget review? Legal?
You could just say the operating expenditures for the legal department.
Thank you. Okay. Operating expenditures for the legal department back next month after further discussion and review. All right. We have a motion. Have a second. Discussion. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'll tell you, I'm happy with the way things are going now, so I'll be voting no on this issue.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. By a 3-1 vote, we will defer this to next month. Thank you. Item 5B is the consideration of a resolution supporting the Equal Rights Amendment in South Carolina bills H3391 and H3340. Would you like to?
Sure. Thank you so much. I would like to thank the League of Women Voters for bringing this issue to my attention. You know, I think that a lot of times we just sort of assume that it's codified in our Constitution that there are equal rights for men and women under the law. And while there are a lot of, you know, legislative decisions that have been made that say that, I think that going this step and actually placing it in our Constitution once and for all is a very important thing. This is they're coming up on the last state needed in order for this to come through. I believe that the city of Charleston has already passed a resolution in favor of this, as well as the city of Columbia. So we would, you know, as the fourth largest municipality in the state of South Carolina, I think us coming on board as well would also send a message to the state house that this is an important a bill to move forward for the state of South Carolina. Okay. And I think that the women and men who spoke earlier did a great job kind of laying forth the need for this.
All right. Thank you.
And in that, I move that we approve a resolution supporting the Equal Rights Amendment and the SC bills H3391 and H3340.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second, so it is time for discussion. Yes, sir. Mr. Bustos.
Well, there are a couple of things. Certainly, I believe that women and men should be treated equally, but I haven't had an opportunity to read what H3391 and H3340 actually says, and I'd like to, before I vote on it, I'd like to read them. And the other thing, I'm a little reluctant. I don't know that Mount Pleasant Town Council, the things that, you know, we normally work on things that impact Mount Pleasant operationally. I'm not sure that we should be in the business of doing resolutions for possible constitutional amendments. I'm just a little uneasy with that. But I would like to see what 3391 and 3340 are before I say I support them. I just haven't seen them. So, and with the other, like I said, I'm just a little reluctant to believe that Mount Pleasant should be voting on that or getting into the state and possibly the federal government's business from Mount Pleasant. So I'm just a little nervous about that.
I wanted to add that the actions of this council, we recently passed several non-discrimination ordinances about discrimination in housing, employment, anything for race, gender, sexual orientation, any of those things. So I think the position of this town about equality, our actions speak louder than our words. And the other thing I'd like to say is that the other resolutions that we have offered have had to do with the effect that the state might have on things that we have passed in this town, whether it was plastic bags or the Child Luring Act, some of those things. We had a child luring case here in the town of Mount Pleasant. Standing in judgment of the U.S. Constitution on an issue that has, I know it's bipartisan at this point, it has been identified as partisan in the past, is something that I don't want to do lightly. I also don't want to open the floodgates. You know, next month someone may come in and want us to pass a resolution about gun ownership and gun rights and those type things. And so if this does not pass here, I would just ask that we bring it back. Let's have a broader discussion. I don't know that town council has ever gone down the road of constitutional amendments in the past. I don't think they have. That's what I'm being told. So I don't want to say no today, but I would like to say, can we bring this back another day? Yes, sir.
Mayor, I'm all for it. I think it's. I think we ought to stand up for this. It's important, and I know. And I know that Councilmember Bustos talked about getting involved with state and federal. But you know, when I did the no smoking ordinance, that was I was told, well, you can't touch that because the state's going to be doing it, and it's going to trump your ordinance. But it didn't happen. So had we not voted on this, we'd have people still smoking in our restaurants and things like that. So I think we ought to be leaders. I think we ought to take a stand with the rest of the communities and be a leader on this opportunity.
Understand. And I think.
Oh, thank you.
Is that legal?
Oh, this is just the text of the text of the bill. She's just handing it to me.
I'm sorry. I understand, but many of us have concerns as well. Is you know what happens to Title IX? What happens to women's sports? What happens to an organization like the League of Women Voters? Is it does that become discriminatory? And all I'm saying is I don't want to say no today. I want to say I got elected to take care of growth, drainage, all the things a municipality does, and now I'm being thrown into a constitutional amendment discussion that never came up in my election for council or mayor. And I don't want to sit here today and say that I have a depth of knowledge of all the possible ramifications of this, including on our own activities. Like in the future, will someone be able to sue and say, you can't put me on the boys' recreational team. I want to play on the girls' recreational team. Or we can't have boys' and girls' recreational teams. But I just think before we endorse something as serious as a constitutional amendment, when we've had no discussion as a town and not looked at it, is just jumping, you know, to get in front of an issue that we haven't even looked at yet. And I'm just asking that we bring it back at a later date. That's all I'm asking.
Mayor, may I read the text of the amendment of the bill?
Which bill?
It's just literally the same sentence that each of them have been saying up there.
You may. Okay. Yeah, sure.
It just says, equality of rights under the law must not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex, is basically what it says.
Right. So as I read that, in my history of being familiar with this, is that it doesn't just say that we're recognizing that for females. We're saying that any gender, any sex, can then say, I was not allowed to play on the girls' recreational league team because I'm a male. And I want to find out where these things might go before we go endorse something that could undo all of our recreational leagues or everything we have or anything of that magnitude. And if it, you know, if it's not worth studying and doing right, then maybe you need to ask, why are we rushing into this today?
Well, I think that, if I may, this statement is, it's a resolution in support. It's not a town ordinance. We're not creating any cause of actions by passing this resolution. What we are saying is we are in support of the concept that women are equal to men for our town.
That's not what it says, though. It didn't say women equal to men. It said the basis of sex, and that's what worries me because I don't want girls to not be able to be on girls' recreational teams in Mount Pleasant, and I would like to probe the depths of that before I endorse it. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you'd have to worry about that. Even girls playing on boys' teams. I had a girl play on my football team some years ago. She wanted to play with her brother, and absolutely, she came on and played. And so I don't think you're going to have to worry about that because, you know, heretofore, we've not had that issue here in Mount Pleasant. And I think this just supports it. It just sends it up to full council for a vote. That's all it does. So, I mean, I think we ought to send it up to full council and let council make the decision.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? No. All right. So the motion fails. The chair would like to make a motion that we bring this back to this committee at a later date after further discussion and study, especially looking at the ramifications on how it could affect operations in the town of Mount Pleasant.
I second that.
Okay. Yes, sir?
Yeah. Like I said, my reluctance is for several reasons, but I still haven't read 3391 and 3340. You know, I mean, I just think I should be able to read that before voting on this. Because, you know, this, it's here, but I know the number, but I don't know what it says. So
perhaps it'd be an opportunity to set a meeting up with the League of Women Voters so that we can be educated on this. That would be for council members who are interested.
So we have a motion and we have a second. Any other discussion that we bring it back? Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to be voting against this, not because I'm not for it coming back. It's just I think we ought to vote on it now. I think this is an opportunity for us just to send it up to full council. And I would hope that somebody, a council member, would actually put that on our council agenda so that we can go ahead and vote on that. Gives you plenty of time to read it before our council meeting. It's an important issue, and I think we ought to move forward on it. So my no vote does not mean I'm against this. It just means I'm against delaying it. I think we ought to move forward with it, and I think it really should be on our council agendas for our next meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
I want this to get passed, and if it takes time for people to make themselves comfortable with the concept of non-discrimination against women, I'm okay with that taking some time.
Well, I do want to take exception to. I hope you don't view anybody's stance up here as discrimination against women. That's certainly not what anybody is advocating. All right, so we have a motion and we have a second to bring this back to this committee. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
By 3-1 vote, the motion passes. Thank you. All right. Item 3.5C is discussion and potential recommendation for amendments to Section 30.34B of the Code of Ordinances pertaining to improvements to the structure of the town council agenda. Now, we did vote all of council, with the exception of one council member, voted at the last meeting on first reading, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. So are we delving into other agenda items on this or making changes to the first reading or what?
No, Mayor. This is really the, I believe, the second part of that, which really relates to agenda items.
Yes.
And how we're going to deal with that.
Got it.
So would you like to take over?
Mayor, you're correct. Last month, we moved forward with a number of changes for the agendas. There was one item, then when we brought it in front of this committee last month, that y'all wanted to discuss further, and that is how items appear on the council agendas when they're submitted by a council member. So what we have today is only that issue. Everything else is moving forward for final reading. And so provided up on the screen is actually the text. As you all wished, we are bringing this back so y'all can discuss further if you would like to make any modifications to how items appear on the council agenda.
Members of the committee, it's also an opportunity if you'd like to discuss how matters get on a committee agenda, if you'd like to provide guidance on that as well.
Yes. Could someone just read that for us, please?
Sure. All matters will be placed in the town council agenda for regular monthly meetings if submitted by any council member in writing to the town administrator by 4:30 on Thursday prior to the scheduled council meeting. The rest of it goes on to reiterate the same when it's a special council meeting, so I think that the sentence that we're primarily focused on would be the one I just read.
Okay, so that's the code as currently written.
Yes, sir.
And what we had talked about was not taking away council members' rights to put something on the full council agenda, but you would have had to have attempted to put it on a committee agenda first.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I guess part of what we need to discuss is what are the What are the ramifications of that? What are the conditions on that? If the committee chairman says yes, we'll do it at our next month meeting, that's still a yes. Unless it's something extremely time sensitive, which we have shown an accommodation for even recently. So I guess what we would be saying is we have a committee structure for a reason. Take it to the committee. If you're told no, the committee will not bring that up. Then you have the right to take it to the full council agenda. I'd like to know how the committee feels about that. Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to gather what you just said. You're saying they have to come to committee first, and then if it's a no, then it can take it to council?
Yes.
I like what we have now. I really do. I mean, I don't know why we should change. I mean, if it's important to somebody, just in a recreation committee, we had something that was important to a council member, and I think we ought to let all council members be able to at least state it if they want to state it. And he was able to do so. We had a great discussion about it. You know, for me, I think I like the way we have it right now.
Okay. Yes.
I think that working through committees is the way that council should work, and that items should first go through committee to be properly vetted and to have full information. And then if it dies in committee, having the opportunity to bring it to full council, because committee only represents a subset of people and you might have enough votes to get the full council approval, 5 votes on the full council. But I think that taking it through committee first is an important step in the process. It gives notice to all the members of council that something's on the agenda, that something's coming up through the process, but I think that putting things on committee first just saves the time of at the council meeting. Is if it's put on the agenda without being a committee, then just getting it deferred back to committee.
Right. Ms. Bussos?
Yes. I think everything should go through committee, but I'll go a step further and say it should go through the appropriate committee. If it's something to do with public services, you know, bringing that to the legal committee or the planning committee may not be appropriate, but I think if it deals with public services, it should go through the appropriate committee. And I'm okay with that. And I think it should be there for the initial discussion. Every once in a while, we see something that goes to staff and comes back with something typed up from staff as it's already a completed action, and that's it shouldn't be a completed action until council says, you know, there's been a vote and it should be done. So I'll go a step further and say I think the appropriate committee should be included.
We took public comments at the beginning of the meeting where it was on the agenda.
Go ahead. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Nope. So I do believe it should go to the committee first. And I believe that it should be, as I said, a step further to the appropriate committee before it goes to full council. But before anything's done, council should vote on it.
Okay. So do we need then to have a motion to amend this section of the code? We probably can't craft all of that in the exact wording, ordinance wording, but we could direct legal and staff to come back with the proposed wording to accomplish that goal. Meaning you still have a right as a council member to go directly to the agenda, but you have to be denied that opportunity at the appropriate committee in order to go straight to the council agenda.
And I think maybe one exception that could be made to that rule is if something is time sensitive.
I agree. Exactly. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we ask staff to continue to work on section 30.34 as discussed.
Second.
I have a motion, have a second. Any further discussion? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a problem with things coming to the committee first, but I don't want to also take away the opportunity to somebody after the committee meetings, if something comes up that needs to come to the council's attention, do they have to wait till the next committee member meeting before they do it? you know, I just like the way we've had it. I don't think there's any reason to change it. You know, think about it. You know, we have a council member that's not a chair of any committee, so how does he get anything put on there? I mean, I you know.
You asked the chairman. You just asked the chairman of the committee. This is important. I want this on the committee agenda. We do it all the time.
Put my on the agenda. Hmm? You just put my ERA on the agenda.
That's right. Yeah.
I just don't think there's a reason to change. It's my only thing. I mean, I don't have a big issue of it going to committee first, but you're saying it has to be a no before they can put it on town council's
You have to have been denied the opportunity to be heard by the committee with all the preparation that staff does, with all the information we're given. And I'll just speak personally. What we're trying to avoid, council meetings are not public hearings. They are a public action of this council where we vote publicly. And when the agenda is used for public hearings, just to hold a public hearing and then the action goes back to the committee again, we got people sitting out there waiting to see a vote on something that affects their life every day while we're holding meetings on something that we're not even going to have a binding action of council on that night. And we're trying to make sure that if you show up to a council meeting and you want to see the vote or you want to address in public comments the thing that's going to affect your neighborhood, like all the folks from Park West who came here to address the John Bartram Way, and many of them had to leave because we went on and on and on and on about other stuff, that's not serving our citizens well. This way we're serving them well in committee and in full council with the opportunity to do it in both places. I think it's a win-win. I really do.
But you have that opportunity now, don't you?
What?
To have it in both places, on committee and council.
Right. But right now somebody can decide that they want to have a huge public hearing and invite 100 people to come about something that hasn't been through committee. We haven't, like the thing the other night. I totally agreed with you. That should have gone through finance first, but it was time sensitive, so we didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Well, the only reason I raised that concern is because we told them to bring it back to us. Had I not said that, I wouldn't have expected it to come back, but they were instructed during the committee meeting to come back to us. That's why I brought that up.
Right.
That's the only reason why.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. So anyway, and then if a committee votes something down and a council member wants to take it to full council, you know, we will ask what did the committee say and what did the chair of the committee say, and they'll say the committee looked at this and felt like it's not in the best interest of the town. Any other discussion? Are we prepared to vote? All right. All in favor of the motion as stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. By a 3-1 vote, we have instructed staff to come back with proposed changes in wording, and then we will take it from there. Was that C? All right. D. Formula for counting election ballots. Mr. Bustos?
Yes. Thank you. Several years ago, we changed, it was in 2013, we changed the way ballots are counted. And then in subsequent elections, and the choice was to turn it into a runoff type election. Before that, it was the top four vote getters won the election and were impaneled after the election. Then we had this situation, and the way we operate now is, and I'll read this, that's a little confusing. When more persons are seeking election to two or more officers constituting a group than there are offices to be filled, the majority shall be ascertained by dividing the total vote cast for all candidates by the number of officers to be filled and by dividing the result by two. Any excess of the sum so ascertained shall be majority, and the candidates who obtain a majority shall be declared elected. If more candidates obtain a majority than there are offices to be filled, those having the highest vote equal to the number of offices to be filled shall be declared elected. So what all that means is there's a formula for determining who gets into office. And it was very confusing a couple of elections ago, and there was a runoff, and the result was the same. and the fifth person, the third person in the runoff, was actually 900 votes below what the fourth person was. But, you know, there had to be another election, which the taxpayer paid for, and it didn't change anything. And actually, if it's possible to have, even using the formula, let's say you had six people running and all of them attained the formula majority, if there are four seats, only the top four are considered elected. So either way it's done, the top four get elected, but we have the chance of a runoff, which in the last election in which the runoff was used, nothing was changed. So what I'm suggesting is that we go back, that we, and the other method is approved by South Carolina State Code, as is this one, where you have this formula that you use. I believe the way we did it before, having the top four vote getters seated, will work just as well and probably save the town some money of runoff elections and, you know, just turmoil in council because you have maybe one or two seats that aren't filled in the interim between the election and the runoff election. So this is I'm going to make a motion that we ask staff to go back, or we recommend, actually this would be a recommendation to council, that we recommend to council that we go back to the way the elections had been done before it was changed in 2013.
Second.
Okay, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Before we have a discussion, I guess I would ask Mr. Pagliarini, is the timing of this okay, since this is a municipal election year, and what deadlines might we be looking at before we get this?
Yes, sir. I mean, this is not anything related to where we have to go to the ballot or the board of elections for anything. It's really a town preference.
Okay.
And so usually we recommend by August. So, for example, if there were to be a first reading in April, I don't think they'd have any problem with this. It's simply a measure of how the ballots are counted and whether there's a runoff or not. Really, that's as simple as it is, runoff or no runoff.
Right. I'll ask Mayor Pro Tem Santos. I guess this is the way the elections were for most of your years. Do you have any?
I'm good. Ideas? I agree.
You're good you're good with the motion?
I'm good.
The money-saving opportunity and to get council seated quickly and working.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll make that a motion. Oh, we've already done that.
All right. So we have a motion. We have a second. We will call the question now. All of those in favor of the motion as stated signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes 4-0. All right. Section E is discussion of the content and detail of minutes of council meetings to include state legal requirements, Robert's Rules of Order requirements, and the staff time expense consumed by our current method. Here we go, Pat. if you look at Robert's Rules, minutes are supposed to memorialize who was there, the final version of a motion, according to when you read it, you don't even have to put if there was an amended version, because it's only what's voted on and passed that counts. And put in there, council heard from engineer so-and-so or lawyer so-and-so, not all of the back and forth, not what everybody thought about everything. Because basically it occurs to me, instead of minutes, we have our staff typing memoirs, and it's what anybody happened to think at any particular moment on any subject, even when there's no motion on the floor. And I believe, if I got this correctly, Barbara's here, that just the minutes from our council retreat took you 2.5 weeks to type full-time, 8 hours a day. And she's supposed to be a clerk of council helping us with our day-to-day stuff and all of this, and she's in there typing minutes. And we actually have less help for this council, and I don't mean that that's not help, but less help in the things that we've talked about that the clerk does. In minutes and getting us copies of things and documents and appointments and all the things that council and mayors ask for. And I just think that having 120-something page minutes or 80-page minutes of council meetings, and this is why I've been voting no, because even though the motions may be recorded correctly, I'm not going to vouch that every word that every person said was intended the way it was, that the word is actually correct. And when I vote yes, I'm saying, yes, that's exactly what you said and exactly what you meant. And what we're supposed to vote on, according to Roberts, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Pagliarini, is what the motion was, who was present, what the vote was, and some general things about what was said and what was done, but not every word verbatim of what every person says or every question they ask of every person who speaks.
That is correct in Robert's rules. It is also correct, which is the controlling element is our state law, which provides a very similar similar requirements to Robert's rules.
Okay. And that having been said, we have video of every meeting, which even takes minutes out of, you know, you could say, well, I don't think y'all got that right in the minutes, but the video doesn't lie. We have audio of committee meetings, at least. And so I don't think there's any less transparency, but the expense, and Mr. Moore, I didn't preload you on this, but I don't know what our expense is that we're spending every year counting minutes. I think I know. I mean, typing minutes. I think I know, but I think it's quite significant. Is that correct?
Sir, and it's throughout all departments. It ranges in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Yep.
And countless man hours.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So I guess what I'm asking this group to do is what direction would you like to go in on this, and what's a good first start? Yes, sir.
You know, I've been doing this a long time. The minutes now are not verbatim. Verbatim is everything that's said, whether there's a cough in the middle of there or whatever. That's verbatim. You could put quotation marks around them. This is a synopsis of what they do. Now, granted, some of us talk more than others and say more things than others, more things. So I think if our council members wouldn't talk so much about issues and not really get to the facts. You know, I mean, I like jumping right to the facts and talk about the facts before we go. I'm like Pat. I go back and research minutes all the time, and it's very helpful for me to be able to go back and look through the minutes and see what people said. But I think it's more of us. I think if we don't talk as much and really get to the facts and discuss issues like we should, we would get out earlier. But unfortunately, sometimes we get into discussions and we just don't get right to the facts and deal with the facts, and I think that would save us some time as well. Is just you know get to the facts and start discussing those, and you know, as the mayor, the one being in charge of the meeting, you always have the option to say, look, can you get right to it and let's move on, and I think I would like to try that first, so that we can do that rather than not allow a council member to express something and have it in the minutes where we can go read it. I think that would cut time as well. It bothers me, you know, like you that we go on and on and on about an issue when really I can probably say in 10 words what some people say in 100 words. You know what I mean?
Well, do you think that if their thoughts and their, our thoughts and everything weren't being memorialized for all the world to look up and reference, you know, as our legacy to Mount Pleasant, if the motion and the vote and the outcome and all was there, do you think it might cut down on some of that verbosity? I mean, we've had council members instruct staff to insert one word and say, you know, this word was said by so-and-so, this word. I was absent the December meeting, and council amended the minutes to put in a word that I said, and I wasn't there to vouch for it. So don't tell me it's not verbatim. Other people wanted verbatim what they represented I said, and I wasn't there to clarify it.
Right. But it's technically not verbatim, right, David? Our minutes are not verbatim.
Right. I mean, in the legal field, verbatim would be absolute, everything said.
Right.
We have professionals that do that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, and so...
For court purposes.
So I just think that we as a council, and I have been on many different councils, I mean, with different members, and we've had that before where you have people that like to talk, to hear themselves talk, and the mayor has said, hey, can you wrap this up real quick and move on, and I think that might, I would like to see that first before we do anything where, you know, where we make any kind of changes where to our minutes, because, you know, like I said, like, I don't agree with Pat a whole lot often, but I do agree with this. I do agree with her on this. I think it's very important that any of our citizens can go look at the minutes and be able to see what people say. And like I said, it's not verbatim. If we did it verbatim, they'd spend a lot more time doing these minutes. They do a great job of putting things in there, but I think we as a council need to kind of keep in mind that our citizens aren't there all night, and we need to move our meetings forward and to get right to the point and talk about it rather than go on and on about issues. I fully agree with that.
Do we agree that 88-page minutes are not helpful?
No. I mean, that is a long time. But I think we can do better, though. I mean, without having to mandate this, I think we can do better. And you certainly, as the head of the council, when it comes to this, can make sure you say, hey, can you get right to the point? And I think that will help us a lot. You know, I really do.
Yes, ma'am.
So initially I was more on Councilman Santos' side of things, feeling like it was very valuable to be able to go back to the minutes and see things. But the more that I've heard from staff about the amount of hours that it's taking and the sheer length of the minutes and the values of the minutes in that way, I think doing what is required of us by state law, which is simply, as you said, the motions, who was there, what the vote was, with hyperlinks to the videos as necessary, which would be included, I believe, is what we had discussed, I think would be such a time saver to our staff and would still provide to the community opportunity to go back through the minutes and see what happened. And I think a lot of times what happened in the vote is more important than maybe the 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes of discussion that happens leading up to the vote.
Yes, sir.
So my question would be, what if you have a citizen that doesn't have a computer, can't go to the hyperlink? Where do you go then? So that's why I'm saying it. I just think it's better if we just make sure that we get to the facts quickly rather than do it this way, because it'll always be there. But not everybody has a computer that can go to hyperlinks to see things.
I guess I just fundamentally disagree on the purpose of minutes. If we want a transcript, verbatim or not, that's a separate thing than what's required by the state and Robert's rules to show what the actions of this body are that result in the ordinances that we live by. And what I'm hearing is what's important is people see how we felt and how we think. Well, a yes vote's a yes vote, and a no vote's a no vote. I mean, you know, what we think about everything, I'm just not sure what purpose that serves. Yes, sir.
The thing that I'm concerned about is transparency, and that there's a permanent record of what we do, what we vote on. And I think we have redundancy in our system. We have audio tapes of all our meetings. We have videotapes of the meetings, and certainly if during the time between council meetings, if someone wants to hear something or get it, I'm certain, because we've done that before, is we can go in, if it's a council member, and certainly I think a private citizen could go in and say, can I get a typed transcript of this topic? And I think we'd be able to do that. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean,
we could do it. So to memorialize it, we have the recordings and the videos, and I think most people, you know, Pat, I know you like to read them, but, you know, folks could find the portion of the meeting that they want to look at, and maybe they want a transcript in their hand, and we have the ability to do that. So I think we're doing everything. We're being transparent, and we're letting people capture those things that they want and that they need. The other thing is, it just came to me, where do we store all these minutes?
Mostly the closets here. I don't think we have off-site storage any longer, do we? Yeah.
I mean,
what's that?
We have an ordinance room.
Ordinance room. Yeah.
Okay, so we're filling that up with paper.
Oh, yeah.
Not just ordinances, but I mean
minutes, committee minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Do we have a record of the number of times citizens access our minutes online? Do we have a number of that?
Actually, do we have?
So how many citizens out of 87,000 are accessing our minutes online?
It's Over the course of 1 year, council agendas and minutes were accessed 1,347 times. So it's 112 times a month. And what we've learned from that, I'm not going through the rest of it because I read it one time before, is it's mostly staff that's gone back and had to go back and see what, you know, what transpired or what it was. So it stands to reason in a community this large, the facts are that not many residents access the town's website to review minutes and agendas.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't think that we should give broad access to individual town members to demand transcripts of the minutes or request transcripts of the minutes. I think if we have it available online, you know, if someone needs a printout and they need help with that, if they can go to the senior center or they can, you know, come to the town and the town could print out a copy. But I think it would defeat the purpose of doing this if we then said, well, then any council member or any town member can just go and ask for a transcript, because I think that would then defeat the purpose, because chances are there'll always be at least one person asking for it. And now instead of typing up the minutes for the entire town, you're typing them up for one person, and you're defeating the purpose of it.
Good point.
What can we do manpower-wise to get some relief for our clerk and assistant clerk of council, who I see them every day, and I'll go on the record and say that the workload we're asking of them, I have a serious problem with. So do we need to hire more people so we can tell the public that enjoy your 88 and 130-page minutes, or do we contract that out? I mean, something.
Yes, sir, and I can tell you that what you're seeing, sir, in the office, the same thing is occurring in departments.
In other departments.
Because departments are carrying the load for other committees and other special boards that are meeting. So at this rate, at this pace, unless there is a change in policy, we would have to hire more people eventually.
Just because of minutes.
Just to do minutes, yes.
Yes, sir.
So how do we – question for Mr. DeMore. How do we affect this change? I mean, we can make a recommendation to council, and then you'll be able to shift gears and go to this method of doing it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll make a motion, or if you're through.
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we recommend full council that we go to this method of relying on recordings and having minutes done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in Robert's Rules and by state. And it's done as outlined in